Amen, amen. If you have a Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I've got some props for the sermon today, which I usually don't do. I remember a professor of mine in seminary who said, preachers who use props, they're doing children's church for adults. And I don't know if you guys remember children's church, where they'd have the kids come up, you know, on the steps and have a little, you know, life lesson or whatever. But I'll do it this one time. I'll repent. I won't do it for the rest of the year, all right? Be in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 here in just a second. So one of the props I have here is a razor, okay? So this is kind of small, but maybe you can see it. I started shaving at about 11 or 12 years old, and I remember this as we think about just coming out of Christmas. When I was about 11 or 12 years old, at Christmas, we were in Atlanta, Georgia, and we were at my uncle's house, different uncle than the one I've told you about before, and Nathan, my twin brother, and I got a present, and we opened it up, and it was a can of Barbasol shaving cream and a pack of like four disposable Bic razors. And we were like, yeah, thanks for the Christmas gift, you know. It's just like we would usually get kind of presents that we didn't necessarily, we weren't overjoyed about from that particular uncle. Now, to be fair, I'm just saying this to be fair, my parents also gave gifts that some people weren't really excited about. Like there was we had a family that we were close with in Atlanta. There's a guy named James Merritt who used to be, he was the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's a pastor in Atlanta. He and my dad are really close. And so we would always, when we would go to Atlanta for Christmas, we would go there because they had three boys. My dad has four boys, and we would go and play sports together and hang out, and we would exchange gifts. And Dr. Merritt would give us like Nintendo games, and my parents would give the Merritt boys Christian t-shirts. And I just always, when I was growing up, I was like, man, this is not even, okay? This is not an even exchange here, but I was happy with my Nintendo game. But I got a Barbasol shaving cream and Bic razors when I was about 11 or 12 years old. And honestly, as I began to shave, I have dealt with razor burn my entire life, like just like bumps and things that would break out. And I tried everything, okay? I started out with the disposable Bics, and they weren't any good, so I got rid of those. And then I thought, you know what? If I get an electric shaver, then I won't have razor bumps. And I used an electric shaver, and it didn't work. I got razor bumps. And then it was, hey, if you, right after you get done shaving, if you'll use ice cubes and you'll put them on your face and you'll put them on your neck, you won't break out. And that didn't work either. And then I tried two blades in my, you know, my razor, and then three blades, and then four blades, and then five blades, and none of that worked either. And then it was, hey, if you'll shave in the shower, you know, the steam from the shower will help, and you won't break out in razor bumps. And so my wife got me a fogless mirror, put that in the shower. I would shave in the shower, and guess what? Razor bumps. It didn't work. And then it was, you know, a soap bar and all this different stuff, a subscription to a razor company where you would never have dull blades and all this stuff. None of it worked. Okay, nothing worked. And then a couple of years ago, a friend of mine, when I was teaching at Southern Seminary, I was teaching some classes, gave me a safety razor, okay, kind of like this one. This isn't the specific one he gave me, but he gave me a safety razor like this one. And then he sent me an article on how to shave like your grandpa used to shave. Okay, and I read that article, and the whole article is about how, hey, this is the way that John F. Kennedy used to shave, and this is the way Teddy Roosevelt used to shave, this is the way your grandpa used to shave, and this is how you should shave. And so it gave you all these steps. Get rid of these pressurized cans, you know, get rid of these razors they sell you that have four and five blades, and you need to buy the five-blade one because the four-blade one's going to cut your neck and lacerate you and make you break out in bumps. But the five-blade one, that's going to be the answer to all your problems. And so just the article says, get rid of all that, and here's what you need to do. Get some pre-shave oil, get a safety razor, get real razor blades. Like there's real razor blades in this safety razor, some soap, shaving brush that you can kind of put that lather on your face and on your neck, and then an aftershave. The article said aftershave that would stun a buffalo. Okay, and that's what you need to put on after that. And guess what? About 3-4 years ago, I started using this, and I don't have razor burn anymore. Like I don't break out in those bumps, and all of those things have gone away. Now I tell you that not because I'm trying to give you a commercial for using a safety razor, but I tell you that because oftentimes, not always, okay, I'm not, you know, some get off my lawn, you know, kind of the old ways are always the best ways, but often the old ways can be the best ways. Like there's nothing new under the sun. That if you'll use the kind of tried and true methods, then often you will find success. And so sometimes, not always, the new thing is not the best thing. It's not the right thing for you. The old ways, that there's really nothing new. You need to go back to the basics. And that's true in church life as well. It's true in church life that oftentimes churches can be sidetracked and distracted and confused by the shiny new things. Okay? Pastor goes off to a conference, and at that conference all of the speakers talk about the exciting new trend in church life and the exciting new trend in church growth, and the pastor comes back and thinks, man, we've got to do that at my church. Okay? You've got pastors who will look around at either the fastest growing churches in their city or the fastest growing churches in their denomination, and they'll say, hey, that church is succeeding, that church is growing fast because they're doing this, because they're doing that, and we need to do that, and we need to do this in our church. And so churches can often get distracted by the new thing. Churches can get sidetracked even by culture. They can say, look, culture's moving in this direction, and culture's pressuring us to conform here, and culture's kind of asking us to consider to do this. And so churches will try all of these different new things in order to be successful, in order to reach people, in order to grow. But maybe, just maybe, instead of trying all of these shiny new things, we need to go back to the ancient way of doing things. We need to go back to the first century way of doing things. We need to go back to the basics. And here's why. Churches can be so busy. We have all kinds of things. Our calendar, if you go on our website, even here at First Baptist Naples, our calendar is full and our events page is full, and we can be doing all of these different things, all these different ministries, all of these different programs. And sadly, oftentimes churches are so busy that they equate activity with productivity. And they say, because we're doing something, obviously that means we're being successful. But the question is, are we doing the things? And are we focusing on the things? And are we centralized on the things that Jesus wants us to be centered on? That Jesus has asked us to do. And so oftentimes churches can equate activity with productivity and miss actually being obedient to our King and what He's called us to do. We can miss actually living out what Jesus saved us to do as a church and what He saved us to be as a people. We can miss spiritual growth for spiritual activity. And we can miss, and it's very true, and you can just look around and see what's happened even this week, we can fail to make the impact on the world that we're supposed to. So what we want to do over the next month, and really this entire year, as we focus on this idea of nothing new, is we want to go back to the basics. We want to go back to what Jesus has called us to be as a church. What I'm going to do tonight is, really the sermon tonight is going to be kind of a vision that sets out our outlook for the entire year, at least the first half of the year, and just kind of set a course for where we want to go and who we want to be as a church as we go back to the fundamentals, as we go back to the basics. So here's what I want to just talk to you about very briefly, is who we are supposed to be and what we aspire to be as a church. And so I want to give you a couple of statements. You'll see these on the screen. The first thing I want to give you is an interim. I'm the interim pastor, and so I don't want to say this is a permanent or a long-term thing. This is the interim mission statement for our church, okay? It's the interim mission statement for our church, and it's this. First Baptist Church of Naples exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, again, I say the interim vision because I'm the interim pastor, and I don't want to give some long-term mission statement because, Lord willing, we're going to have a new pastor at some point this year, and I'm excited about that and praying for that. I know you are as well. And so I say it's an interim because I'm the interim pastor, and yet, if we're going to be real honest with each other, this should be the mission statement of every church, okay? The mission statement of every church should be, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ, all right? So I'm not saying that to like undercut the new pastor when he comes in. Obviously, each church can take the marching orders of Jesus in the Great Commission that we're called to make disciples of all nations, and they can put their own spin on it, and they can use different words, and they can contextualize it for their setting. So I'm not trying to undercut the mission that our new senior pastor is going to lay out for us. But in terms of what the Bible says, our mission, the reason why we exist as a church, the reason why Jesus has saved us, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, second statement I want to make is this. This is the interim vision statement. So our mission statement is that we exist to make disciples. Here's the vision of what we aspire to be as a church as we try to make disciples. Our interim vision statement, and you've heard this from me for months, is this. First Baptist Church of Naples desires to be a church that makes disciples of Jesus Christ by three things: living out the gospel, living in community, and living on mission. Okay? So those three things. We desire, we aspire to be a church that makes disciples by living out the gospel. So the first thing is the gospel. Living in community. The second thing is community, in terms of talking about a community of faith, that we are a faith family who does life together, who loves on one another, who serves one another. And so we live in community. And then third, we live on mission. We go out into the world as ambassadors for Christ who make an impact on the world for Jesus Christ. Now, in terms of your individual responsibility in that, in terms of your family's individual contribution to that, I give you this next statement, which is an expectation statement. Here's what we expect and hope for and desire out of all of our members, and that's this. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who gathers, grows, gives, and goes. So a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who gathers with the people of God for worship, who grows in their relationship with Jesus Christ, who gives of their time and of their treasure to the ministry and mission of Christ, and who goes out as an ambassador for Jesus. And so this expectation statement is really a measurable statement. How do we know if we're achieving our mission? How do we know if we're making disciples of Jesus Christ? How do we know if we're achieving our vision? Well, we know that if the people who are called First Baptist Church Naples are gathering together, are growing in their relationship with Jesus, are giving of their time and of their treasure, and are going out on mission for Jesus Christ. And so that's how you help us become the church that we want to be, and that's how you help us to become the church that Jesus has called us to be. Now, that raises a question. John, where'd you get this? Like, where'd you get this mission statement? Where'd you get this vision statement? Where'd you get these expectations? Well, the answer to that is the Bible. The Bible. This is, and we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, a series of verses that has been called the Great Commission. This is Jesus, after he's been raised from the dead, he's gone to the cross, he's been raised from the dead about a month later. He's gathering with his followers before he ascends into heaven, before he leaves them. And this is the last thing that Jesus is going to say to his followers before he leaves them and entrusts whatever he wants to happen for his kingdom to them. Okay, so this is kind of like a a coach with his players before they go out of the locker room, or somebody who's a CEO who's retiring from the company and gives one last charge to his employees. This is the last thing that Jesus is going to say to his people. And so this is the fundamental thing that Jesus has called us to do and has called us to be. So that's the Great Commission here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. We're going to read this together. If you would, please stand to your feet out of reverence for reading the words of God. Matthew writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So this text, again, that's very familiar, that probably most of you have heard before, that scholars call the Great Commission. This text, Jesus gives one command in this text, okay? Now, he bases this command on his supreme authority. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King over the world. And so as the King, as the one who has authority, he commands us. He gives us a charge. This is not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's not something that we get to think about whether or not we want to do it. This is a command from our King. As you say, people ask this question all the time. What is God's will for my life? I wish I knew what God's will for my life is. Well, I can tell you this. God's will for your life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is that you would make disciples of all nations. That's very clear that Jesus, the last thing that he says to his disciples, the final words that he leaves with us are, make disciples. And so based on Jesus' absolute authority, there is one command in the text. One command, make disciples of all nations. Then there are three participles that show us how to obey his command. There are three participles that show us how to obey his charge. And the three participles are these: going, baptizing, and teaching. So we have this command, make disciples of all nations. And the way that we do that is by going into all the world, baptizing our converts, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. And so this is the Great Commission. We are commanded by our King to make disciples. That's our mission in the world. By going to the world, baptizing our converts, and teaching them to obey the words of Jesus. This is, in many ways, very simple, very straightforward. It's a direct command from Jesus. And yet, churches often get distracted and start to engage in and pursue all kinds of other things than the final words that Jesus left us with. Now, here's what I want to talk about, again, as we kind of set the course for where we want to go this year as a church, is how do we apply this text here? Like, what are the practical ways that we flesh this out as a church, that we apply this here as First Baptist Church Naples? And this text, again, the mission statement that we have, that I've given, the vision statement that I've given those because this text, the Great Commission, parallels what we have laid out in our vision. Here's, again, the interim vision statement. You'll see this on the screen just so you can see it. First Baptist Church of Naples desires to be a church that makes disciples of Jesus Christ by living out the gospel, living in community, and living on mission. There's the three ways, okay? Now you see that on the screen, and you see gospel, community, mission paralleled in the text, okay? We see this in the text. Going, that participle that we make disciples by going into all the world, that's mission, okay? That's our call to mission, to make an impact on the world. The second thing we see is we're called to baptize, and that's gospel, All right? We're to baptize those who believe the gospel, and we are to display the gospel in baptism, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, that baptism is picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, okay? And so the aspiration that we have to be a gospel-centered church, we see this here in the Great Commission in terms of baptizing our converts. And then community we see in teaching to obey, that we come together as a community of faith, as a family of faith, and we teach each other and we instruct each other on obeying the words of Jesus and living them out. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to give you again a kind of an overview of these three things that we're aspiring to be as a church. And then over the next month, we're going to dig into each of them specifically. We'll dig into the gospel next week. We'll then community the week after. And then my dad will be here at the end of the month to talk about mission. All right. So we're going to kind of give an overview today, and then we'll dig into each over the next 3 weeks. And so we go to the world on mission, as Jesus tells us to do. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So we go to the world on mission. We baptize our converts who believe the gospel, and we teach each other to obey God's word in community. And that's what we're aspiring to be as a church. And we measure that, whether or not we're being successful and whether or not disciples are being made, with the four G's that I gave you earlier. This is, again, how we measure if we're doing this right. This is how you can know whether you're contributing to the mission and vision of the church. And those four G's are this: a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who gathers, grows, gives, and goes. All right? Now, as we think about that, let me just kind of touch on each of those briefly. We gather, and one of the reasons why we gather is to fulfill that aspiration that we have to be a church that lives out the gospel, okay? We gather because of that aspiration that we have, that we are a church who lives out the gospel. The reason why we come together in this room every Saturday night and Sunday morning is because we want to gather and we want to preach the gospel, we want to sing the gospel, and we want to display the gospel in the ordinances. Okay, let me flesh that out. Every week that you come in this room, you are going to hear, as I preach or one of our other pastors preaches, you are going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, here's the good news of Jesus Christ: that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead, and anyone who repents of their sin and puts their faith in Jesus Christ will be made right with God and receive eternal life. And not only that, but those who believe the gospel will also be changed and transformed by the gospel. We'll talk about this more next week, but Peter says, as Peter's writing the second letter that he writes, 2 Peter, and Peter says to this group of people that he's writing to, he says, look, the reason why you're not growing in Christ-likeness, the reason why you're not growing in maturity, the reason why you're not growing in holiness is, he says, is because you have forgotten that you've been cleansed of your former sins. And so what Peter says, Peter's talking to people and he's saying, look, you're not growing in your relationship with Jesus. And the reason why you're not growing in your relationship with Jesus is because you've forgotten the cross. Again, as we think about this idea of nothing new, Peter says, you don't need some new thing. You don't need to go on to something, you know, some trend or some fad. You need to remember the cross. You need to remember the gospel. And that's how you're going to grow, and that's how you're going to become more like Jesus, and you're going to be more holy, is if you remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so because that's true, because the gospel is the only way that you can be saved from hell and be made to look more like Jesus Christ, what we want our gatherings to be, every week that you come in here, we want our gatherings to be saturated in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so every week, it doesn't matter what the text is, because every text of the Bible shares the good news with us. And so whatever text we preach, every single week, you're going to hear the gospel. And the reason why you're going to hear the gospel every week is because in this room right now and every single week, There are people in this room who are believers in Jesus Christ, and there are people in this room who are not believers in Jesus Christ. And there are people watching online right now who are believers in Jesus Christ and who are not believers in Jesus Christ. And both groups need the exact same thing. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can be saved and so they can grow. And so our sermons are going to be centered on the gospel. The songs that we sing are going to be centered on the gospel. And then the ordinance, the reason why we do the Lord's Supper, is because we want to display in the bread and in the cup, broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. The reason why we do baptism, we're commanded to do that, but we also are displaying the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people who are in Christ are united to Christ, and so what is true about Jesus is true about them, that they have already died and already been raised to walk in newness of life. And so we gather because we want to be centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing is, the next G is we want to grow. And grow really touches on, it kind of blends into two of our different aspirations. Grow, we grow by the gospel and we grow in community. We grow by the gospel, I've already talked about that, and we grow in community. We live in community together. We live together as a faith family, and we live life together, because the way that you grow is that you need to be with a small group of people, a small group of believers that you know and that know you, that you hold accountable and they hold you accountable, where you can teach one another and learn with one another and be accountable with one another. And really, this is where we live out, as I've said before, the one another commands of the Bible. As Jesus says here in the Great Commission, we're to teach them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded you. And as you look at the Word of God, there are three or four dozen in the New Testament one another commands, okay, in the Bible. These are commands like, forgive one another, be kind to one another, serve one another, give to one another, pray for one another, hold each other accountable, all these about 36 or 40 one another commands in the New Testament. And here's the bottom line. And this is not some revolutionary statement, okay? You cannot obey a one another command by yourself. It's impossible. You actually have to have relationships with other believers in order to obey a one another command. And here's the other thing. I'll just tell you this, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a second. You cannot obey one another commands by sitting in a room with hundreds of people, singing songs, listening to a sermon, and then going home without ever talking to them. And so we grow, and we grow in community as we learn to observe everything that Jesus has commanded us, which is living out the one another commands of the Bible. The third G is this: we give. Okay, and giving touches on community and it touches on mission. All right? Touches on community and it touches on mission. And we give of two things. We give of our time and we give of our treasure. We give of our money. Okay, so we talk first about give of our time. We have an expectation. If you are a believer in Jesus and you're a member of this church, then there is an expectation that you will be part of serving this church body. Okay, and there's any number of things that you can do. You can be a greeter, you can sing in the choir, you can be a parking lot attendant, you can teach in children's ministry, you can volunteer in youth ministry, you can teach a BLG. There's all kinds of things that you can do, but there is an expectation that you will give of your time and use the spiritual gifts that God has given you to serve the body of Christ. And so you give of your time in order to help the community of faith, this body of believers, this faith family, to grow. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. And so the first thing you give is of your time so that you can help the community of faith grow and become more like Jesus. and you give of your treasure, you give of your money. You give of your money to support, again, as we talk about gospel community mission, as you give, you're really honestly supporting all of those things. You're supporting our gathering as we gather together and we display the gospel and we preach the gospel and sing the gospel. You're giving to the ministry of this church that helps form community, and you're giving to the mission of this church as we go out, as we fund missionaries around the world. And so you give of your treasure to fuel ministry and to fuel mission, and that helps the community of faith grow, and that helps us to go out on mission. And then the last thing that we see is that we go. We go out on mission. We gather together in this room, and we gather together in our BLGs, and we gather together in our midweeks to kind of learn what Jesus said, to get our marching orders from the King, and then we go out into the world to make an impact as ambassadors for Christ. And we're called to go out not just into our community, although that's where it starts, but we go out into all the world. We're called to make an impact on all the world, not just the people that we see every single day. And so Jesus has given us these commands, and the way that we flesh this out in terms of our expectation of members is that a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who gathers, grows, gives, and goes. And here's my challenge for you. My challenge for you for 2021 is this: take your next step. Okay? Take your next step. Wherever you are in your walk with Jesus, wherever you are in your discipleship journey, take your next step. Now, we as a church, we're working hard to take our next step, okay? We're forming a pastor search team because we want to find our next pastor. We are working on our membership and trying to get our membership right and know exactly who we are as a church. And so as we're doing that as a church, we want to challenge you as families and as individuals, you take your next step. And so wherever you are, what's the next step that you can take in your discipleship journey? So let me walk through this just briefly. The first one is gather. Now again, you're in the room tonight, you're watching online, check one, all right? You've gathered, okay? But can you gather more than you do currently? Like when I was a kid growing up, an active church member was somebody who came to church every week. Now, an active church member is somebody who comes, you know, every week but one a month, or maybe 2 weeks a month, and that's an active church member. And so, wherever you are at now, you come once a month, can you come two times a month? You come two times a month, can you come three times a month? You come three times a month, can you come four? Can you come every week? Wherever you are in terms of gathering, can you come more? And again, I know we're in a pandemic and COVID, and so I know people are gathering online, and so I'm not saying this, I'm not trying to say that you have to be in the room, okay, in times of a pandemic, but whether you're here in the room or you're watching online, are you consistent? And then the other question is, do you engage? Okay, do you engage? Do you sing when we sing? Do you open your Bible when we open the Bible? Do you take notes? Okay, again, now for those of you who are watching online, you say, you know, Pastor John, singing in my room with just the three or four people of my family present is kind of awkward, you know? Not really that great a singer, okay? Let me say this. I know it can be awkward, but your family needs to hear you sing. Your family needs to hear you sing. Your children, or your wife who's sitting around you, or your husband who's sitting around you, needs to see you and hear you engage in worship of Jesus Christ through song. They need to hear that. They need to see that. You need to get used to it, because that's what heaven's going to be like. All right? We'll be singing a lot. Okay? Now, I'm not saying, like, some people have this idea that heaven is like this never-ending choir practice where you just stare into a light and sing for all eternity. That's not true, all right? But there is going to be singing and worship of the Lord. Now, I remember this. Several years ago, this is when I was in college. I was 20 years old. And I went on a mission trip with Tim Tebow's dad, Bob Tebow, to the Philippines. And here's what, we had to preach the gospel, and I preached the gospel in 3 weeks. I preached the gospel 60 times to about like 40,000 people, all right? I'm 20 years old. And so one of the things that Bob Tebow would have us do is at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, I'm surrounded by 100 high school and college students. And here's what he'd do. At breakfast, he would pick out, and then at lunch and dinner, he'd pick out at that time about three or four people, and he'd point and say, "John, your turn." And what I have to do is I'd have to stand up in front of 100 of my peers and sing a song a cappella until Bob told me to stop. And the reason why he was doing that is because he wanted us to get over our fear so that we could preach the gospel with boldness. And so he'd point at me, and I'd sing some hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," and just hope the first verse was good enough, and he'd let me sit down, all right? Now, I don't know that's what heaven's going to be like, all right? I don't know that God's going to call on, like, one person, and you get up in front of all the redeemed of the ages and sing. But maybe you should be prepared for it, all right? You know, but all that to say, look, get over the awkwardness. Sing with joy. I don't care if you can carry a tune or not. Your family and the people around you need to hear you singing the gospel. And so, again, take your next step. If you're gathering, be more consistent than you are right now. If you're consistent, how actively are you engaging in worship when you come? And so make sure that you are in the room, that you are present, that you are taking notes, that you're engaging in worship. The second thing is to grow. Where are you in terms of your growth in Christ-likeness? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you pray? Do you have a quiet time? If not, then start. If you do it, but you're shaky and inconsistent, then commit to doing it every day. And again, it doesn't have to be in the morning. You can do it at night if that's better for you. If you're not a morning person, do it at night. When I was a teenager, I would always read my Bible and pray right before I went to bed. I had not trained myself to be a morning person. I had to do that when I got into college, but I hadn't done it to that point. So whenever is convenient for you, whenever is a time, but schedule that time out and make sure you're reading the Word of God every day. Even if it's just a chapter or just a half a chapter, every single day, read the Bible and pray. And so if you're not doing that, start. And if you're doing it inconsistently, become more consistent. Are you in a Bible and life group here, where you can be surrounded by a small group of people that you're growing with in terms of your relationship with Jesus? If not, I want to challenge you, become part of a Bible and life group. That's where you're going to really experience growth in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you part of a midweek study? Are you part of the women's ministry in Refresher? Are you part of the men's ministry? Are you serving in Awanas? Are you serving in our youth ministry? If not, then maybe that's your next step, is to commit to, I'm going to be part of the midweek, and I'm going to engage there. And so let's commit to growing our relationship with Jesus. When it comes to giving, are you giving of your time? Are you serving in the church in some way? If not, maybe that's your next step. To say, in 2021, I'm going to start serving the church. I'm going to give of my time and start serving the church. And then when it comes to your treasure, when it comes to your money, are you giving to the church? Again, now if you're a guest here, we're so glad that you're here. We have no expectation that guests would give. Like your presence here, you watching online, is a gift to us. But if you're a member of the church, then there is an expectation that you would give. And again, I'm not saying this because, you know, I know pastors, and some pastors are afraid to talk about money. Some pastors, you watch online, that's all they talk about, okay? I'm trying to strike a happy medium here in the middle. But I don't have any embarrassment or shame or feel nervous about saying to you that there is a New Testament expectation that members of a church will give to the ministry of that church. It's just in the Bible, okay? And so I'm not like trying to browbeat you or shame you in anything. I'm just saying, look, this is what Jesus called you to do. And it's honestly, and I know you may not understand this, it is a joy and a privilege and a blessing to be able to invest in the advancement of God's kingdom. And so if you're not giving, then I just want to challenge you, if you're a member of this church, start giving. At whatever level you think you can do it. Okay? Whatever level. Even if it's just a couple bucks a week. If you say, look, instead of Starbucks every day, I'm going to do Starbucks 4 days this week, and then I'm going to take what I would have spent on a latte and give it to the ministry of the church. Great. If you're giving, but you're giving inconsistently, well, then become more consistent. If you're giving consistently, hey, ask the question, can I do more? Can I sacrifice a little bit and give more? And so give of your time and give of your money to the ministry of the church, and then go. Let's go out on mission. Are you inviting your friends? Are you inviting your neighbors? Are you inviting your coworkers or your classmates to come to church with you? Are you committed? I know we've got coming up March 6th, Love Naples. Opportunity for you to go out as an ambassador for Christ in this community, love on people, and be a witness for Jesus. Are you part of our food bank distribution with St. Matthew's House? We start back up on January 21st, the Thursday, January 21st. It's an opportunity for you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, loving on our community. So let's commit to going out. Once the world opens up, we start doing international short-term trips again, going around, even around our nation, and going to major cities and being a witness for Christ. Are you committed to being part of that? Do you have your passport? When the world opens up, are you even able to go to the world? If not, get your passport and be ready to go. And so we need to take our next step this year, whether it's gathering, whether it's growing, whether it's giving, or it is going. Now, this weekend, the NFL playoffs have started. I know I've seen many of the guys in the room checking their phone to see the scores. You know who you are. I'm just kidding. I didn't see that. But this story, you may have heard it before, but Vince Lombardi, who was, 60 years ago now, was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. On the first day of training camp in 1961, here's what happened. In the previous season, 1960, the Packers had been minutes away from winning the NFL championship, and then they lost a fourth quarter lead to the Eagles, and the Eagles won. And so the players were bothered by that loss all offseason, and so they gather on the first day of training camp, and they're ready to advance their game to the next level and win a championship that year. And so they come together for the first team meeting, and they're wondering what new stuff is the coach going to give us, and he didn't give them anything new. He began a tradition of starting from scratch, and so Vince Lombardi held up a football in front of his players, and the first thing he said to them was, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And he started back at the beginning. Again, these guys were minutes away from winning a championship, and Vince Lombardi, instead of teaching them something new, started over. He started back at the beginning. And all of training camp, he methodically covered the fundamentals. How to block, how to tackle and wrap up. He started in page one of the playbook. In fact, he was going so slow that one of his Pro Bowl wide receivers, a guy named Max McGee, joked at one point with the coach, and he said, "Hey, slow down, you're going too fast." But here's the deal, it worked. The Packers became the best in the league at the tasks everyone else took for granted. And 6 months later, they beat the New York Giants 37-0 in the championship. And Vince Lombardi never lost another playoff game. And he won 5 championships in 7 years. And so it's easy to underrate and to underestimate the power of the fundamentals. But if we as a church and you as an individual want to please your King, want to find your purpose in the world, want to grow spiritually to be more like Jesus, and to make an impact on a world that clearly, desperately needs the hope of Jesus Christ, then you don't need to turn to anything new. You need to go back to the beginning, to the command of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to go into a time of response here in just a second. Here's what I want to challenge you to do as we think about how to respond. Again, take your next step. If you're here in the room or you're watching online and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then tonight's the night. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And so when I pray and we stand and sing, there's going to be pastors here at the front who would love to talk to you. We have a number where you can call if you're watching online. Talk to us. If you've never given your life to Jesus, then tonight's the night. If you're a believer in Jesus and you've never obeyed the command to be baptized and to display the life change that Jesus has given you, then you need to be baptized. So again, come and tell one of our pastors. Call us. Say, I need to take the next step. I need to be baptized. Maybe you're here and you're not a member of a church. You need to join a church. We'd love to have you here at ours. Maybe you're here and you're a member of First Baptist Naples, but again, as we think about getting our membership right, if you're here in the room or you're watching online and you've not gone through the membership checkup, then we want to challenge you and encourage you to do that so you can help us and we can help each other in terms of becoming the healthy biblical church members that we need to be. You can go online, fbcn.org/member checkup, and you can do the membership checkup. Maybe you need to join a Bible and Life group. Maybe you need to start midweek. Maybe you need to serve in a ministry. You want to come and tell us, you want to call us and say, I want to get involved. I want to serve. Maybe you need to give. And you start giving. Maybe you need to commit to right now, having a quiet time and say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. Maybe you need to commit to going out as an ambassador for Christ. Whatever it is, whatever your next step is, this is the time for us to pray, to do business with the Lord, and to ask Him, what is it you're calling me to do? And then to resolve to do that. So let's take our next step this year so we can become the church and the people that God wants us to be. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that by the power of your Spirit, you would work in our lives in such a way that you would create in us, that you would cause us to be the people that you want us to be so that we can have an impact on the world. And whatever decision people need to make tonight, I pray that they would make it in the power of your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing. If you have a decision to make, you come right now.